do ask you to pray for us for the time we'll stand before you. We're certainly appreciative of that kind prayer that's been offered on all of our behalves, and ask you to continue to pray. We looked at a day of visitation. We've seen a day of visitation in God's Word when the Lord hath visited this old low ground of sin and sorrow for the purpose of redeeming His people. We also see a day of visitation when the Lord comes and visits His children when He calls them from a death and trespasses sin to alive in Christ. John 5:25 says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, notice very closely there what it said. It did not say that they should hear the gospel of the Son of God. It said they should hear the voice of the Son of God. The other day I had to do something. Well, it's been back a year ago, I reckon. Seemed like the other day. Anyway, I have this with the company. I know it's been more than a year ago. But anyway, had an American Express card. And one of the things I had to do was they made me read sentences. This little computer told me to read this sentence, repeat after it, and I had to repeat after it. What they were doing was getting the fingerprint, if you will, the pattern, the frequency of my voice. Now, you can do a lot of things. You can try to. I've heard people that imitate people, and they sound an awful lot like them. But they cannot reproduce another person's voice. It's just as unique as their fingerprint, which is amazing. It's just as unique as their iris, their eyes, just as unique as you. It didn't say that they'll hear about Jesus Christ. It said they'll hear the voice of the Son of God. I can read you what He said, but I cannot emulate or replicate the voice of the Son of God. That must originate from whom? The Son of God. Now, there's a lot of people that would say, "Well, preacher, what that's talking about is when the Lord comes back." Well, you better keep reading, because the Bible doesn't leave us ignorant regarding that. Because if you'll keep reading just a couple verses down, it says, "Marvel not at this." Now, notice what it says in 5:25. "For the hour is coming, and now is." Now, what that means is, it's happening in the future, and it's happening right now. All right, so that's what you would call present perfect. That's present perfect tense. And that's going to continue to happen until which time the last child of promise is called by name, the Lord quickens them from a death and trespass sin to a life in Christ. And then there is coming a day. So we keep reading. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." All right? That's in the future. That's not present perfect tense. That is future tense. The hour is coming somewhere down the road. It says, "When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, there's coming a time then when that's going to happen. Now, what that is the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was coaching a group of little baseball boys one time, and I don't know if y'all knew about it. I didn't know about it. Apparently, the earth was coming to an end. I didn't know. I was trying to get batting practice done, and they was huddled up out there. I said, "Hey, next one, let's go. What are y'all doing?" "We're just trying to figure out something." I said, "What are y'all trying to figure out?" "Well, the world's supposed to end tonight." I said, "Really?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "You reckon we'll get a text message or something?" I said, "The earth's supposed to end tonight. Why do you think the earth's supposed to end tonight? The world's supposed to come to an end." "Well, so-and-so said it was going to." I said, "Well, don't worry about it happening tonight. Let's go play this ball game." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "No man knows the time or the hour which that's going to happen, so it ain't tonight. He said it was. It ain't tonight. Play ball. Let's go." The fact of the matter is, they was like, "You reckon we'll get an email or a text message or this, that, and the other?" Nobody's going to have to be notified on that day. All right? I don't know when that day is. The older I get, the more I look forward to that day. the worse this old world waxes, the more I anticipate and look for His coming. And we're told in Scripture there's some things we need to be doing while we're waiting for that day. All right? There's a day coming when the Lord's going to come back. Now, let me get this while we're here. Just as a... This is free. I ain't charging them for this. Y'all didn't laugh then. I was just kidding. 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Then cometh the end," all right, "when He shall have delivered up the kingdom." All right. I want y'all to get this. There's some folks still thinking the kingdom's going to come at some point in time. Hello. We're in it tonight. We have it right now. This kingdom's already come down. We see over there in Revelations, when you look at that, he said he saw that city coming down. I think you can have multiple applications there, but I'm going to tell you the city in particular he was talking about right there. There was 12 foundational stones. You know whose name was written on there? The apostles. You know what chief cornerstone was? Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord said? "As my Father hath given unto me a kingdom, so give I unto you a kingdom." And he said, "You be careful how you build." You know what? We still need to be careful how we build. When you build up, it says you're built up into a spiritual, built up into a spiritual house. Hey, I hope my row's solid, brother. Y'all got me? Because if it ain't, in a couple generations, she's going to fall down. We need to be careful how we build. What we build with. Where the bulwarks are set. Where the corners are set. What stone we're setting up. If you don't have a good foundation, you got nothing. You can build as big a house as you want to. If it doesn't have a foundation, it's going to crumble. I got news for you. This one right here, Lord says, upon this rock, he wasn't talking about Peter. "I'll build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it." Right? Upon this rock. You know who's still revealing the church to his people today? The Lord is. You know what he asked? "Who do men say that I am?" You know what Peter said? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know what the Lord said to him? "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know the most amazing thing is? The hour is coming, and now is when that's still taking place, brethren. Lord's revealing and calling from death and trespasses and sin to alive in Christ. I just proved that. Just look at the examples you have in Scripture. They're pretty important. One, you have John the Baptist in his mother's womb in the presence of Christ leaping for joy. Reckon somebody got in there and said, "Hey, young man, let me tell you who you're in the presence of." No. No, what happened? Well, the same way that Jesus Christ is revealed unto you is revealed unto John, and that's by the Spirit of God. David said, "I was made to hope on my mother's breast." You know, it's amazing to me how the Spirit of God can work in a little child, and yet in the mother's womb, mama got no idea. Now, she did in that particular instance because the baby leapt for joy in the presence of Christ. But the Lord can work, and we don't even know sometimes. It's amazing how the Lord works because He has power over His creation. We done talked about that. Then we look at a man, and this man gives this testimony. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Don't you know that Paul's life haunted him all the days of his life? Don't you know when he looked back on... Because look, folks, Paul was bad. Y'all got me? He didn't just murder people. He forced them to blaspheme. He forced them by force to deny Jesus Christ. And now he's preaching the gospel. I'm going to tell you, we serve an awesome God. Amen. Somebody said one time, "Why did the Lord call such pitiful fellers to be preachers?" It's a testimony of his power. But I'm going to tell you the only reason it had to be the good Lord. I got news for you. Couldn't be old Luke. I promise you that. It's a testimony of the power of God. He demonstrates it there. And Paul on that road. "Who art thou, Lord?" That's a funny question, isn't it? "Who art thou, Lord?" He goes and he gives testimony and tells us what happens on that day. Then you skip on down. There's a middle-aged man. Let's get one more. Let's go here. And here's the Lord suspended. He's numbered with the malefactors. He's hung between two thieves. And you look at the accounts of the gospel, they both cast the same in his teeth. They say, well, if you really are the Christ, won't you get down from here and save us too? If you're really him, we need something out of this thing, man. And all of a sudden you see in scriptures where something happened to one of them old thieves. And he rebuked that other thief. And you know what he said? He said the same thing Paul told us. Paul said, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He said sin became exceedingly sinful. It's kind of like a time the old preacher was telling a story about his little grandson. He went to meet, and it was back several generations ago because they was riding in a horse and buggy. And the house was full. It didn't have air conditioning. The windows was open. The young man was, and it may have been somebody from over here. I don't know who it was, but I'm just going to tell you the story I heard. But anyhow, fact of the matter is, the little grand boy was sitting out there playing in the dirt underneath one of the windows. The old preacher was preaching. Service was over. We had dinner on the ground. Was done. They got back in the buggy, and they headed home. And on the way home, the little boy just burst forth crying. His grandpa said, son, what's wrong with you? He said, Papa. He said, I'm going to die and go to hell. You know what Papa said? Praise God! The little boy's like, what is going on? You see, Paul says a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You have been made to feel to be a sinner, brethren. Lord didn't come. I mean, they to behold me, not a physician, brother. I'm telling you, I'm sick. I trust if I know you, there's a reason you gathered on, what is this, Tuesday? Tuesday night. Because you're sick too. We stand in need of deliverance. We stand in need of a healing. We stand in need of something that we can't provide for ourselves, and we know from whence it comes. Grandpa just rejoiced. That old thief, he said the same thing that Paul gave testimony of. He rebuked that other thief. He said, you know what? You and I died justly. You know what that man just said? He said, I'm a sinner. He said, I know I'm a sinner, and I deserve exactly what I'm getting. I had somebody say to me one time, they said, Brother Luke, I understand how you can just believe like you believe. I said, what do you mean? He said, don't you, what about the people that's going? I said, oh, I don't wonder about them. People's going to hell. I don't wonder about that. You know why? Because that's what we all deserve. You see, you missed the whole point, brother. If you fall short of one part of the law, you're guilty of all the law. You understand, brethren, that when Adam died in trespasses and sin, everyone represented in Adam died in trespasses and sin. But praise God. Just like in that man Adam, all die. But in Christ, everyone that's represented in Jesus Christ, and we've talked about them while we've been here. If you hadn't been here, I'm sorry. But he's got us. We're his family. He adopted us, he borned us, and he married us, and we're his. And God the Father placed us in him before the foundation of the world, brethren. He sanctified us and set us apart before the foundation of the world. And Jesus Christ died for them. And he gave testimony of that in Psalms 22 when he said, I may tell all my bones. You know what Adam said when he looked at Eve? Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I'm going to tell you, you were on Jesus' mind when he hung suspended between heaven and earth, paying that debt. His bride was on his mind. While we're on that subject, this is still his bride. This is a manifestation of his bride, and this is his kingdom. We just need to be good little stewards while we live here. Y'all got that? You start talking about my wife, I don't know about y'all over here in Georgia, but I'm telling you where I come from, them's fighting words. Don't be messing with my wife. You mess with me, it's all right. Don't mess with my wife, and don't mess with my boys. Which they take care of themselves, but used to, I had to take care of them. It bothers me when people diminish and try to pick boogers, if you will. I don't know of any other way to say it. With the Lord's bride. This is his kingdom, brethren. We spend the rest of our life trying to keep house the way he's instructed us to. We'll be plenty busy if we'll just keep doing that. We ain't got to find nothing else to do. Just do what he told us to do. That's being good stewards. Those are days of visitation. Here's another day that's coming. This day of visitation we're looking for, when the Lord comes back and gathers us all up to go home. I got news for you on that day. It says, then come at the end. I ain't looking for nothing else to happen after that. We going home. Y'all got that? The kingdom's going up. It ain't coming back down. It's go. Then come at the end. I understand what that is. When I was a kid, it said the end. That's time to get up and leave. That's the end. When old, he said, Badia, that's all, folks. That's it! Right? Y'all may not have watched that cartoon when you was a kid. I did. When he said the end, that meant it's the end. Then come at the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom. Now I got news for you, brethren. When that kingdom's delivered up, we're entered into a place that God has prepared for us to dwell with Him for all of eternity. But while we're waiting on that day, He's given us some specific instructions. And here in Hebrews 10, we're going to see something talking about that particular day of visitation that's under consideration that we're looking at, and that being the second coming of Jesus Christ to gather His bride home. He says, verse 22. Now this is important. I want to get this. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Brother Philip gave testimony this evening that when he was a young man, that there was a time came that he was getting ready to cross the road there, and he reached up to grab a hold to his father's hand. Has there ever been a time in your life you tried to avoid your father? Y'all may not have been as bad as I was as a little boy. There were some times I didn't want to see my daddy because I had messed up. Y'all got me? And I just knew what was coming when daddy got home. My daddy, I had two younger brothers. We lived on a farm. We didn't have a whole lot to do, so we entertained ourselves. I was telling the kids over at the house, one particular time, one summer, I had a broke arm. My middle brother had two broke arms. My baby brother had a broke leg. We were on a first name basis at the emergency room. I was a rounder coming up. I mean, I got into stuff. We was breaking horses. They done more breaking than we did. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, there was a time you ever got caught with your hand in the cookie jar? Or you was in trouble and you knew your daddy done found out? You really didn't want to be right up there next to daddy, did you? I know I didn't. But when I got in trouble, that's the last fella I wanted to see was him. I had one of the policemen back home told me, he said, if your son ever gets in trouble, he said, I ain't calling you. He said, I'm just going to take him to my house and I'll bring him back home after a while. I said, well, I'm glad y'all know where I stand. The fact of the matter is, there's times in our life that we get that same way with the Lord. Right here, he said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Said another place, let us boldly come. We're not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let us come boldly unto a throne of grace. You know, there's times that I feel like in my life, I'm kind of scared to go to a throne of grace. Because I know how short I've fallen. I know what sin I wrestle with in my life. And I think, y'all ever prayed and you didn't feel like your prayer made it up off a pillow? Isn't it amazing even at that same point in time that the Lord knows what things we stand in need of before we even ask? Isn't it amazing that even in that situation, He still loves us? Isn't it amazing that if we understand, I want you to get this for just a second too. If when we were enemies, God sent His Son to die for us, if you didn't do anything to cause Him to love you, praise God this evening, brethren. You can't do anything to cause Him to not love you. Isn't that a glorious thing? You didn't do anything to get it. You can't do anything to lose it. I don't know why the Lord loves us. That's what we ought to be marveling in. Why in the world would He love any of us? That's where a man should marvel. Not that He don't love somebody. We should marvel, why in the world would the Lord love me? Because I know what I am. I ain't been that long ago looking at this perfect law of liberty, and it shows me who I really am. And if somebody thinks they're more than that, then you might need to go take a look. Because we're not. Brother told me one time he hadn't sinned in 15 years. I said, you just did. You lied. Brother, I'm going to tell you, we're all sinners. We're not only sinners by nature, we're sinners by action, by commission. But the Lord loves us in spite of ourselves, and we forget that from time to time. Sometimes we like that prodigal son. We out there slopping hogs. Y'all know the hog slopper? That's the little Jewish boy that's feeding the hogs. You know the hogs are unclean. And this done got so bad in his world that he's ready to get down there and eat them husks with them hogs. That's a bad situation this young man's found himself in. You know, and he starts trying to justify it to himself. He said, you know what? Even the servants in my daddy's house, they got plenty to eat. Maybe if I go back and I just tell daddy, daddy, just let me be a servant in your house. You see, that young man was ashamed. You know why he was ashamed? Because he had taken an inheritance and he had wasted it. He'd gone out there and ride his living in this old world. And I don't know, there might be one here tonight that's had the same experience. You've tasted that the Lord is gracious, yet went out into this old world and wasted that on the things of this old world and the stuff and the fluff and the garbage they've got out there. Lord knows I have from time to time. And I think I've messed up so bad there's no way I can go back to my daddy's house because he won't receive me. He won't have compassion on me. He needs to meet me in the street before I get there and take me behind the woodshed. But we look at this young man that comes back home over there in Luke. His daddy sees him coming from afar off. Oh man, that's good stuff right there. And daddy sends his garment to him. Daddy sends his ring to him. Put my garment on him. Come on back in the house. We're going to kill the fatted calf. You know, there's two brothers in that story. I don't know which one you find yourself in. Sometimes I'm the one that was slopping the hogs, and sometimes I'm the one that stayed at the house. But when the hog slopping brother comes back home, I'm like, Daddy, that boy done wasted everything you gave him. Don't you give him nothing else. I've been here working, laboring for this. He got everything he is supposed to get. You don't owe him nothing else. Then I need to remember that old prayer over there, don't I? He said, when you pray, pray, Lord, forgive me of my debts like I forgive my debtors. Sometimes we're scared the cup's going to run out. Brethren, I've been drinking from a saucer all my life. Y'all know what that is? That's when your cup runneth over. And it gets down in a saucer. You know, the good Lord's still only strong. He's able to bless His people in spite of themselves, and He does so. I'm a testimony of that in my life. I have experienced it. There's times I was dry as a husk, and God's people were still fed. I left weeping, and God's children were still fed, and I was starving to death. You know why? Because He still loves His children. That's amazing to me. But there's times we feel like I just can't go back home. But I got news for you, brethren. That young man went back home and his daddy received him and he killed a fatted calf and he rejoiced. And when you go look over there in Luke 15, you look at all those things that's taking place. You look at what he's showing. He says, man, if you got a coin that's missing, you're going to clean the whole house. You're going to find it. I'm going to tell you, good Lord finds all those little children. He's ultimately going to carry them home. But we need to remember while we live here that we need to come with a true heart and full assurance. That's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to boldly come to a throne of grace when we know what kind of individual that we are. But that's how He tells us to come. You know why? Because the righteousness you have, it ain't your own garment, brother. It's the one Daddy's provided for you. Oh, brethren. Though you were crimson. You know, them folks where I come from, they don't like to hear that text. Though your sins might be as crimson, He going to wash you and make you whiter than snow. That's good news, brother. We're going to be made white and clean. It was nasty like crimson. Oh, nasty crimson. But He going to clean us up and put us in some white garments. You see, He's going to put His robe upon us, and He has made us righteous. Not only has He made us righteous, brethren, He's made us just. They can't nobody give you that. Nobody can give you that. Best they can do for you is not guilty. They can't give you justified. But the Lord has made us just. You understand that? He's declared us to be just. Now here He says, let us draw nigh with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why do you not need to waver? For He is faithful that promised. Don't stagger. We need to be like Abraham. Don't stagger at the promises of God. Because the promises of God are yea and amen, brethren. Don't stagger at them. Don't stagger at the promises. Sarah was well beyond her birthing years. Lord said she's going to have a child. Don't stagger at it. Brethren, when you think things come up, I was talking to Brother Philip tonight. I got some stuff going on in my life, and I was like, there's a lot of awful things up in there, and I don't know exactly how it's all going to work out. He said, well, you know, good Lord can. Amen, brother, I know that. Sure can. Good Lord make things happen when you think it's impossible. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. We need to remember just how faithful God is. We've looked at that. And let us consider one another. Now watch this. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, if let us be found showing love one to another. You know, I can call you and say, I sure do love you. But I can't show you I love you unless I'm over here. I can't show love one to another unless I'm with you. Y'all got that? If you're going to provoke somebody to love and good works, you've got to be there with them. Don't take my word for it. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I got news for you, brethren. We're one day closer today than we were yesterday. You know what that means? The day is approaching. So as you see the day approaching, there's something for you to be doing. And that is to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and to provoke one another to love and to good works. Now there's times I feel like I ain't worthy to walk through the door. As Sister joined church down at 5 miles, she said, I'm not worthy to be a member. I said, if you thought you were, we wouldn't have you. Is that the truth?
Yeah.
Ain't none of us worthy, sister. But the good Lord has shown mercy upon all of us. From time to time, we feel like we're scared. The other thing we do is this. I don't know why we do, but Brother Philip talked about this. I got to hurry, brethren. But anyway, we ain't going to midnight. We can't. If somebody falls out of the rafters, there ain't nobody here that can heal them, I promise you. We can pray the good Lord He can heal them, but anyway. The fact of the matter is, sometimes we set like, Brother Philip's talking about, we'll make a resolve. I make a resolution to do this. How many of y'all ever done this? How many of y'all ever set a resolution? You said, you know what? Come January 1, I'm going to get on my diet and I'm going to stay on that thing all the way through. And you do pretty good for about 2 days. Y'all ever been there? Third day and you say, oh, well, I'll wait till next year on January 1st. Have y'all ever done that? I don't know why we do that. We think that. That's the way our brains work that way. I don't know why they work that way, but that's the way they work. And we'll say, well, I'll just wait till next January and I'll start this day because I done messed up now. And I mean, we honestly do that kind of thing. The other thing we'll do is we'll say, I used to do this, and it's kind of catching up with me. I used to say, man, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I really still don't really know. But I'm still growing up. Kind of getting grown. It's kind of scary how that happens. But when you're younger, sometimes you'll do this. You'll say, oh, when I'm older, I'll do this. And you spend all your time saying, when I'm older, I'll do this. When I get a little older, I'll do a little better at this. Or I'll put this off to then. And then you get older, and you'll say, boy, when I was younger... I was, who knows what. And boy, you know, the further you get away from that time, the worse your memory gets about actually kind of what happened back that time. But anyway, fish just get bigger and bigger, you know. That might just be the fisherman part of it, but I don't. But sometimes that's the way we function in our mind. And we'll put things off. What I want you to know is the day is approaching. How many times have you ever made a resolution? I'm going to study my Bible more, and you do really good until you get to Exodus, and you say, well, that stands for exit, so exit. Genesis, Exodus, see you, pal. We'll say, I'm going to read my Bible every day, and we get to Exodus, and we exit. Here's my point, brethren. I want you to know that the Lord's mercies are fresh every day. I want you to know that His love never fails. His grace and mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Whew. You wrap your mind around that one and tell me what that means. You know what that means? It's way yonder more than you'll ever need. That's the best way. It's from everlasting to everlasting. It's exceedingly abundantly above. That's what it is. It says over in Hebrews, he says today, after so long a time. How many times do we harden our hearts? He said, as in the day of provocation. You know what happened in the day of provocation? Them folks didn't believe God's promise when He said you can inhabit Canaan's land. Now look, Canaan's land's a pretty good picture of the church, folks. Somebody said, oh, it's just heaven. Well, Moses went to hell. You ever thought about that? That ought to satisfy what we're talking about. Moses never made it into Canaan's land, brethren. That whole generation, Joshua and Caleb's generation up, all died in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb entered in to Canaan's land. All them other ones died out there in the wilderness because of unbelief. Unbelief is still one of the main tools that hinders us today. We either forget or we don't believe that His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And we like that little prodigal son, that little hogslopper out there, and we say, Lord, I messed up, but I'm not even worthy to come in your house, so I'm just going to stay at the house. The Lord said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We'll say, well, next year I'm going to do a little better. Today's the day. And you know what? Tomorrow's going to be the day when you get there. And the next day, it's going to be that day. Brethren, I'm going to tell you, this old life we have is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and it vanisheth away. And the only thing we know of a surety is what we have right now. What you going to do with right now? Because far too many times in our life, we spend our time right now wishing right now away. That's some young people under the sound of my voice right now. I wish I was grown. When you get there, you're going to not wish that. And you'll say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Yes, I do. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I wish I had a truck. What you're saying is, I wish I had a note that I was having to pay. I wish I had some insurance to pay for. I wish I had all the... Don't wish your life away, brother. And the other thing is, don't put your life off waiting on something to come. Today is the day. Today is the day. And I don't care what you've done yesterday. The thing you need to remember is, His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And we need to, with a pure heart, a true heart, and a pure conscience, boldly come to this throne of grace. When the saints gather, I'm going to tell you, don't let nothing hinder you, brethren. The Lord's told us, as you see the day approaching, you need to do this. You need to assemble yourselves together, and you need to provoke one another to love and to good works. It's evident that y'all are doing that. I want you to keep doing it. Don't just do it today. Don't do it on Sunday morning. Do it tomorrow. You know what? Do it the day after that. You know what? Do it the next day. Win the day. Why do you need to win the day? Because it's all you got. All you got is right now. And so many times we waste right now. I'm going to tell you, when you have opportunity, there's going to come a day. I promise you. There's going to come a day. I'll never forget this. There's a dear sister at 5 Mile. that her health has got to the point, and she's one of the most, she's the one who shot up the back porch shooting at the possum. I told some of y'all about that, but she's one of the most independent women. At 90-something years old, she had her pistol. She was going through her neighborhood watch patrol around the neighborhood. I'm telling you, she's a firecracker. And she's got to the point now where she's not able to drive anymore. And she can't take care of herself. I mean, she can take care of herself, but she can't get her medicine just right. And she's having to stay in an assisted living facility up in Tuscaloosa. And she can't make it to 5 miles like she'd like to make it. But you know, she's one of the most faithful members we got there. Every Wednesday and every Sunday, right there on that pew, Sister Bernice will be sitting right there. And now she can't go. You never know what life holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds, brother. I may not make it home tomorrow. I don't know. If I don't make it home, y'all know I'll be all right because I'll be at home. Y'all got me? But there may come something in our life that hinders us from being able to gather with the saints. Don't waste the time you have to gather with the saints, to assemble yourselves together, to lift up praises. I called a song tonight and said, "What shall I render unto my God? For all of his kindness shown, for all of his mercies, for all of his love, for all the blessings he's poured down upon us." I just got one question for you. This time that we have, it ain't a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. Because of what he's done, we're going to spend an entire eternity with him in glory. Because he was prepared to suffer and endure for an eternity on our behalf. So many times we can't give him an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes. I'm going to tell you, love one another. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And provoke one another to love and to good works. Because brethren, today, tomorrow, and the next day, the same God of yesterday is the same God we serve. The same one that's blessed you in the past is the same one that's blessing us now. And you're bearing about his name. May we bear it about in a way that he'd not be ashamed to call us brethren. And even when we don't, the most amazing thing is, he's declared in his word that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. May we walk worthy of the confidence that our elder brother has in us. May the Lord bless us, our prayer.